What is good? I am Damo, the political plug. This is the Chop Up. Thank y'all for joining us. I'm here with my dog, Toya G. How you doing, Toya, on this rainy day?
I'm chilling in the mix, but out the way, happy Easter weekend to everybody who celebrates, whether it be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Black Revolutionary One, or you went to the bunnies and the rabbits and the hunts and all that, or you just use it as a reason to get together with the family that cook good, eat good, Ishtar, whatever your version is. If you just plan on vibing this weekend and this Sunday, man, that's all good in our hood, but it's cool to just, I'm actually technically officially on spring break, and I put it in air quotes. Because I don't really get a spring break. My spring break will be close to nothing before I'm back out the door on a plane on Wednesday, headed to Atlanta to work with my team. So I'm just soaking up these couple of minutes.
Debate life. Part of that is debate life.
It can't stop. Folks don't know about that. Yeah, we don't even want to talk about it. Just know we in the door 1 minute, out the door the next minute, and we holding on for our dear lives. So in the meantime, I'm here with the family and with the nation and with the plug. So what's up?
All right, so let's get it out. But let me just get this out of the way. I know there's a difference with my face. The only explanation is that niggas is getting old. That's all I can tell you. You know what I'm saying?
You finally admitted out loud. I've been telling you for years.
Yeah. But I'm now facing the physical elements of that. Eyesight, a little bit of astigmatism. You know what I'm saying? So a nigga had to get glasses. So it is what it is. We're not going to make a big deal out of that, though. We're not going to make a big deal out of that.
Not right now. What's up, Sean? What's good? What's good?
At least. But we do have an interesting dialogue to get into today for real, because there's some things that's really been pissing me off over the course of this week, this past week. Just to go ahead and get it started, we're talking about Candace Owens. And as we talk about Candace Owens, I want to put this shot up first. Before we talk about anything else, I want y'all to see this, all right? I want y'all to remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Before we watch any of these videos and these interviews that Candace Owens has been going on to try to like reframe herself as somebody who's not inherently anti-black. Before we get to the bullshit.
Real quick, and if you're listening, I want to be clear. This is a picture that we're showing right now of Kanye West and Candace Owens with their back to the camera. And Candace is in a white sweater or a white sweatshirt with black letters, White Lives Matter. Kanye West is in a black sweatshirt with white letters, White Lives Matter on the back. So just so that y'all know what we're looking at.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that accessibility assist, right?
You know
it. And so Candace Owens rocking with Kanye West in a White Lives Matter shirt, I need that imprinted on your understanding of this conversation as we continue. Because what I want y'all to see is that this moment here is oddly absent from the conversation about Candace Owens and her relationship to black people.
Amnesia.
Take that in, soak that up, right? Analyze it, and even ask the questions. Why? Like, what purpose does this serve for black lives? Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you feel about Black Lives Matter, how does this benefit black? So again, as we have this conversation, I want this imprinted on y'all psyche. All right. But the reason why we're having this conversation is because she got her ass fired. The racist white people that she was working for, she crossed that Israel Jewish line and got her ass fired. Fired specifically from the Daily Wire, which is a media platform that's ran by known racist Ben Shapiro. The white boy that talks really like weird like this, and as he trying to make his points, right? It's like he thinks that the weird way in which he makes his points provide more validity to him. The reason why Candace Owens was even considered viable for the platform was because of the anti-black stances, pro-conservative, pro-white stances that she took when it came to issues of black people and blackness, where she stood when it came with George Floyd, where she stood when it comes to conversations about Trayvon Martin and police brutality. You know what I mean? What she represents, that's what made her a viable option at the Daily Wire. What's up to you?
Well, no, I also wanted to make sure that I reminded us of, because I feel like I sent you this tweet that we got to make sure we remember too. Very recently, last summer, she made sure to let us know that, you know, Juneteenth is not a thing to her. She specifically says, Juneteenth is still ghetto and made up. Hope everyone enjoys it, is what she posted on June 19th, 2023. And before we get too deep, got to shout out Emmanuel J. Universe. Columbus was good. But Candace, she been bugging and be going hard, like not confused, make no mistake. She doesn't mince words. It's not kind of hard to figure out what side of things she's on. These are all very clear, very targeted, very, you know, she's not splitting hairs with us by any means.
At all. I mean, she's very definitive with her statements. Like she's never been one to be like, oh, y'all are misunderstanding me. No, she is the one that's, I'm saying what I'm saying. Like even this tweet here, the Juneteenth tweet that Toya is referencing, call it saying it's still ghetto and made up. I remember the whole media was like, B word, all holidays are made up. Like it wasn't even the racism conversation had to come afterwards because niggas was so appalled. Like you feel so comfortable tearing down shit that means something to black people that the argument that you're making about Juneteenth is the argument that you can make about fucking Christmas.
That logic evades you. You so quick. You got to have a one up, and you can't let this day pass. You really got to make sure you let us know, get us together. That common sense just is not a part of the recipe that you're using.
Just not a part of the recipe. And so
not one of your ingredients.
With her being fired by Ben Shapiro, you know how white certain people have been referring to it as her white overlords, her white masters has released her because she had to get slapped on the wrist. You was pushing back a little bit too much, black woman. You pushing back a little bit too much, right? That we have a conservative stance that we stand on, and that conservative stance is heavily pro-Israel. You pushing back on that is unacceptable and uncalled for. So that means
you had a little bit too much dip on your chip.
Little too much dip on the chip. So we gotta, you know what I'm saying? We gotta bring that back. We gotta get that back. You gotta go out on your own. And you know, she put out her tweet letting it be known, like, hey, I'm free. And it's like, but I thought you were saying the Democrats had you on the plantation. You telling folks
which one is it
that you free now? Let me see. Which hold on. Let me see if the tweet is actually on this in this article. There you go. The rumors are true. I'm finally free. Free from what? I thought you already escaped the Democratic plantation. What you free from?
What happened? What happened?
You know what I'm saying? Now you jumping on the GoFundMe. Yeah, I mean, telling like reaching out. Obviously, every now she get a Joe Budden interview. We're gonna talk about. She gets what was it called? Breakfast Club interview.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But again, help me understand what who was holding you hostage? Because you was telling us the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
That's what the narrative was. That's what the conversation was. So help me understand. Oh, you free? Toya, what was your reaction when you found out she got fired?
I mean, honestly, you want to know my true reaction?
Yeah.
What they say in them Spice Challenge videos on TikTok and everywhere else? No reaction. I didn't have one. I don't care. Like, you are so and such a non-factor and a non-calculation in my life, I don't even take the time to revel in your downfall. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, I mean, people like that get what they deserve. And when you recognize, there's been a lot of conversations about grifters. You know what I'm saying? Like, people who pop around and they make certain money from different groups of people. A lot of people have been critical of who they call in Talcum X, especially since he most recently, you know, converted. But Sean, what's his name? Light skinned man.
Sean
King.
King. Yes.
Yeah. And so we look at people like him who even on the more leftist, more liberal side, whatever you want to call it, bounce around and find affinities with different groups. I'm not one to question people's religious experiences, but he's most recently converted to Islam and is already, I think they were like paying money for Ramadan, something weird, some fundraiser he already had going kicked up to go with them. And so like this is days after he took, you know, and did the prayer and made his conversion. He was already tapped in. So when I look at him, when I look at the Candace Owenses, I'm just like, you fall as quick as you rise. You find a group of dummies that love you. How you get in is how you get out, right? The same thing we say about any other messy relationship. How you started is how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you were there to be a mascot, to be a representative, to be
the black friend.
Yeah. And they treated you like we get treated in those situations when we don't build authentic relationships with each other. You are expendable. Right. You are erasable. You are fireable. And that's sad. I mean, like, it's your story is not unique to me. It is a decision that you made, and you got to kind of lay in that. So you asked the question, what was my reaction and my response? I'll restate again. No reaction.
No reaction. Okay.
No reaction.
Okay, I get it. I mean, because it's like, if you're going to be a non-factor, you're going to be a non-factor. That mean I ain't even praying for your downfall. Like,
she ain't worried about what's gonna happen to me when she's proven and demonstrated. Like, as a black queer woman in 2024 United States, if something, you know, problematic or violent or exclusionary or some other adjective happened to me, she would not be concerned. So
yeah,
you get what you get.
I ain't care. Okay, so that brings us to the main question, though, that we really here for, is because there's clearly an attempt that we're gonna examine to get her to rebrand and kind of ingratiate her more into black spaces and black media, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, remember, this conversation is being prefaced with this image. Should she be allowed to rebrand? Is that something that she, like, as consumers of media, should we be like, all right, I'm gonna listen to her, give her a shot. Let's see if she can
get a hear her out.
Yeah, it's like, should we hear her out? Should we see what the non-conservative plantation Candace Owens has to say now that, and this, I'm framing her as a moderate conservative, like, because she hasn't made a full leap out of conservatism. I think like most conservatives in the Trump era are trying to move into that more moderate lane. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. to remain viable. But shout out to my boy Blue, just pulled up. But the question is, like, should we hear her out? Should she get a chance to have black conversations in black spaces, right? Like Breakfast Club, like Joe Budden, or even her own podcast as a black media space? You feel me? Should we allow her to do that? I'm saying no. Fuck her. Like, straight up. Just off break. If it's a group of white people outside of the conservatives that don't fuck with her now, that's willing to fuck with her, let them have her. Let them rock with her. Nah, like, we as black people do not need white, because one, she was, niggas already feel like she was grifting. Niggas already feel like how you go from rocking with, asking the NAACP to help support you in discrimination to claiming discrimination don't exist and it's just black people complaining.
Crazy.
You gotta be grifting.
How does that work?
You got, like, so since you on some for real, like, hey, I'm going to get that conservative bag, get that white nationalist bag, get that pandering to white nationalism bag. Do that. We don't need you, though. Because, like, this ain't going nowhere. You knew what you was doing when you did this, and you stood on it. And so it's some things that she going to say in these interviews to where we're going to come right back to this White Lives Matter picture as a representation, as an example of Candace Owens being an antagonism to black people, black communities, and black thought. And black politics, anything that got to do with black people. Go ahead, Toya.
I mean, my take on whether or not I'd be enthused about listening to a show like that, or like, what's the question again? Let me make sure I'm answering the question you asked. Is like, would I listen to it, or am I excited for it? Should she be able to have it?
Should she be allowed to rebrand herself to black people? And so when I say allow as a consumer, the way that we allow things is, are we open to it? So
no. I'm not open to it. I'm open to it from a critical race scholarship and a communication standpoint. And so just like in terms of analyzing that, I would be really fascinated to watch it, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have shit like that floating around in the world and not deal with the negative implications of it existing. So that's why I have to say no. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I think it's really interesting. The efforts, the attempts, to the conversations, the way she talks, the way she attempts to be like, you know, and for lack of a better term, like, because I'm going to be like, she's a black's black, but she tries to be like a girl's girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way she purports herself in these interviews that I've seen, the clips of it that I've seen, she very much has been like, I've been in the know all along. You know, I've been trying to tell y'all, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I've been saying. This has been the message that I've been trying to give you all. And I'm like, no, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? I know too many like you. You know what I'm saying? I've seen too many Black women who are insecure for whatever reasons in their Black womanness, and largely because they've been accepted in white spaces. Mm-hmm. So they've not only had to grapple with and navigate their insecurities in Black spaces, which all Black people do because of how we've been taught and indoctrinated to look at other Black people. You just got to kind of figure out how you get in with niggas, because that's a part of how we got to undo the damage, the trauma. But I also have seen, like, the Black girl who was just like, but they like me over there. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. And you try to, now we in college and you trying to tap back into them pieces. All through K through 12, you have some weird navigational relationships with niggas. And now that we in college and now we in the workspace, and now all of a sudden you've been tapped in, you've been in the know. You've been watching from the sidelines, and that's because you decided not to participate. But now you want to make yourself feel right at home. I have problems with that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I don't think that's a good framework for then other outside, suburban, adjacent, on the periphery of Blackness, Black girls who chose that position for themselves. I don't need them green lights. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need it. So she reminds me of, like, I don't know. I don't want to go too far left, because, like, I'm thinking about Two Can Play That Game, and I'm thinking about Connie Spaulding. Do you remember Connie Spaulding, Gabrielle Union's character? And how, like, with Vivica Fox, Boris Chestnut in it. It's an older
book. Yes.
But, like, we don't need any more Candaces. We don't need any more Connies. I need some, you know, Black women who are taking up spaces in Black spaces that are really trying to talk about Black shit and not trying to ride that middle line of being overly respectable, overly paternalistic, and genuinely anti-Black and shrouded in, but I'm one of y'all. Keep it. You know what I'm saying? I want to watch it. I want to hate watch it. I want to hate listen to it, but I don't need to think it needs to be out there for public consumption.
And I stand by that, because it's like, again, it's just like those Black people who felt like, you know, they had to distance themselves from niggas in the hood because they was different than other niggas in the hood. But then, like, once they able to get away from the hood, now they feel more comfortable attaching themselves to they. But, and it's like, nah, like, that's, I feel like that rebranding make more sense. But what Candace Owens is trying to do is on another level, because I believe that conservatism should exist in Black political dialogue. We should recognize that even a lot of stances, social stances that Black people take, even the criticisms that we have of most of the way Black people think about things like queer issues, issues of gender, right, is very conservative. But at the end of the day, is the difference between having conservative perspectives on policy and how we address these issues, and then just creating and pushing out fucked up narratives as it relates to Black people. Like the Juneteenth comment she made, the comment she made about Black people being the most dangerous people out there. That type of dialogue goes beyond conservatism and just really into Black pathology that comes from anti-Black racism.
I just, you know, especially as somebody who identifies as an independent, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to have conversations, because Black people are not a monolith, you know what I'm saying? With people who would really get me to understand some more conservative approaches to things that don't always align themselves. It's kind of like when you start dating Black women, when you start dating white women, and you, when you do it, you have to talk bad about Black women. You know what I'm saying? I'm not you, but other people, right?
Yeah. Or start dating non-Black people. I don't know nothing about that.
You start dating non-Black people, and then not the UU, not capital YU, the lowercase U, ends up, you know what I'm saying, doing so, but only by speaking negatively about your own group of people. Like, I don't need no type of conservatism that has to, you know what I'm saying, deride and talk down on Black people or undermine our Blackness or anything in order to, or that compares our Black experiences to white experiences in order to justify their conservatism. Have your opinions. Yes. Tell me what you think is better for Black families, Black communities. And I mean, in a lot of ways, we have that in a lot of, you know, Hotep-esque communities that are just like, this is the, but I'd rather sit down and wrestle and tangle with them about what it really means to love Black people than to cut through the minutia of whatever it is you're trying to do with the grandstanding you're trying to do on the behalf and at the behest of white people and whatever they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part that I can skip. I'd rather talk to other Black people about what's really, truly blessed, best for Black people. And we have different, you know, spectrums of conservatism in terms, like, we have that already. I'll have that conversation. I'm not jumping through hoops and hurdles that are metrics of white people. I also, real quick, want to shout out in the comments because they're talking back to us. And Peaches slid in here too. Peaches said, hey, no, we shouldn't hear her out. No, we're not open to it. She's a flat out liar. We don't have space for her to backpedal her views in. Blue said, no, we can't afford her to be, we can't afford to be politically correct. No, we can't afford to be politically correct. Columbus says, why? We have more people that are viable to listen to. And I think that's more important. It's just like, it's already too many damn podcasts, too many shows, too many, like, that I'm having to try to slip and slide and comb through. You don't need.
It's a lot of shit we call competition that shouldn't be competition.
You feel me?
That's for another conversation though. So, as we talk about this rebrand though, cause you, like, as we feel like, nah, that shit shouldn't happen. A few key, let's call them key media figures in the podcast type space has been, you know, taking advantage of her situation to get views and Patreons and things for themselves. Breakfast Club and Joe Budden being the two most prominent. Now, y'all know our complaints on the Breakfast Club and Charlamagne supposed to be the voice, the political voice of black people, and how terrible he is at that. I want to take a look at some interviews and kind of address some of the comments and statements that she made. Now, remember, look at this picture. When y'all listen to the shit that she's saying, let's remember this is her. This is Candace Owens. All right. Mm-hmm. So the first one, we're going to get into the first Breakfast Club interview. And this is where Charlamagne really just displays, like, to me, like, his straight stupidity when it comes to, like, political conversations. Because he's asking her about what's the difference between MAGA and conservatives. I'm going to explain the problem with that, but let's listen to the conversation real quick and see where Charlamagne is really fucking up. All right, let's go.
The difference between traditional conservatives and MAGA.
Well, I would say between the traditional conservatives and MAGA.
Yeah, like what the conservative party was before MAGA and what it is now.
Yeah, so I think what you're describing is that there was this fracture in the conservative movement because people realized that when he was referring to the swamp, what he meant was it didn't actually matter if you were on the left or the right. They were all working together in D.C. and selling out all of America. I mean, there is no reason why you go to D.C. and become a multimillionaire. You're supposed to be there to serve the American people. You're there taking our tax dollars. So what was happening was these lobbying interests, like, you know, Big Pharma goes down and they lobby and they'll offer money to a candidate to go push a drug like the COVID vaccine, or they'll lobby for war. It's like, you know, biggest lobby, of course, military industrial complex. So we're all suffering. You're going to work because these lobbyists are getting their incentives done by buying out these politicians. And so Trump kind of hit the scene as somebody who wasn't bought and paid for because he didn't need their money. He wasn't like a random congressman going to D.C. with no money. And he just started talking about the swamp. Like, it's not even Republican or Democrat. And I want people to wake up to that because I'm not ride or die for Republicans. They all sell us out. Like, the stuff that they did during COVID is criminal. It's criminal. And
who was found on that?
Like, I mean, just the free handouts. First off, trillions of dollars. You're signing these omnibus bills. If you read into it, where...
All right, so what I want to hone in on, two things. First, when Charlamagne is asking Candace Owens the difference between MAGA and traditional conservatives, he's ignoring the fact that she has been a part of radicalizing conservatism to create MAGA.
Exactly.
She is not a legitimate source to ask, like objectively, about the difference between the two. Because the whole concept behind, even, and then that gets us to, so right there, that shows Charlamagne's ignorance. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And he's giving her an opportunity. The person that's been a main propagandist, a propagandist for MAGA, to then explain the reason why MAGA overtook conservatism. And why is it, because she wasn't explaining the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to my next point. This whole... you know, I haven't been gung-ho for conservatives. It's not about left or right. You're lying. You are lying. Blexit. Yeah. The black exit from the Democratic plantation. You was not telling people that we shouldn't that we should stay away from both parties, that both parties screw us over. You was telling people that conservatism is the way to go. You, Ben Shapiro's media platform is considered a conservative media platform. Donald
Trump. You chose the sky, babe.
Donald Trump is a conservative politician. He is the reflection of conservatism today. That's why it really ain't no difference between conservatives and MAGA, is because conservatives have given up to MAGA. That is the current conservative, the dominant conservative ideology, MAGA, Trump. So this conversation, again, lets her paint a narrative as if she's been talking about this, it's not about one side, it's about both. But you lying. Even Donald Trump is telling y'all that it's the Democrats in the deep state. You were saying it's the Democrats in the deep state. The whole deep state conversation was about Democrats having control internally, you know what I'm saying, to where they're able to manipulate things from some shadow government, no matter what conservatives do. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Toya. Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're not. You spitting facts. I mean, you know, I think this is the misremembering and the disremembering that she's relying on. You know what I'm saying? It's been a couple gaps between her last big statement. She hasn't been really out in the mix and hasn't been on the campaign trail for Donald Trump. So she's really dependent on some of the time in between when she was really at her sharpest and at her most, you know what I'm saying, like a conservative delegationist, to really sneak in there and hope that we don't really connect these dots between where she was and what she was doing on January 6th. She's hoping we don't really remember those things.
I mean, what did she say about the insurrectionists? That's what I'm saying. Like her convert, like right now, like this is when Black people should feel like we are being treated like we're dumb.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But you are not about to sell us this both sides shit. And I say this to like people who watch me on other platforms, people who watch me on Sonetta platform, people who've seen me on Q Butter platform, the other, you know, where I be. I tell niggas straight up, don't start the conversation with Joe Biden, and then once you get corrected, then turn into where they both bad. Nigga, you came up here to cap for motherfucking conservatives. Now they both bad. I was saying they both bad from the get go. I'm saying your phrasing to try to make them seem like they different is the problem. Stop playing. Y'all cannot listen. It's either we don't fuck with either side.
Yeah.
Or pick your side and run with it.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the decision we had to make. You know what I'm saying? Really coming of age and trying to negotiate and navigate what we really believed in versus, you know, how we're navigating things. One of my favorite political plug isms is I'm not a Democrat. I'm Black. So if you look at the coincidences between what I believe and what the political agendas of others are, it just so happens that there's some overlap and overlay, but be ye never confused about how I feel or my awareness or my ability to tap in and know what's true or my willingness to divest from certain shit and not participate, to withhold, to navigate strategically, because I was born that night, not last night. You know what I'm saying? You're not never going to get over on me in terms of the political aptitude and the logical aptitude that I have to look at things in my face and recognize when, as we love to say in our community, you playing in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's not a negotiation.
You playing in my face.
I'm not going for it. And I don't care if you skin folk, not kin folk. I don't care what your gender is. I don't care who you sleep with at night. I'm trying to look at how you move, big dog, and what's going on with that bottom line and how you came into this situation and to be in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, yeah, they have the ability to understand nuance. It's not this or that. It's very ironic in my argumentation classes.
Black Americans are incredibly talented.
Like, about reasoning and reasoning, fallacies in reasoning or logical or argumentative fallacies, and a whole lot of these hasty generalizations and a whole lot of these forced dilemmas where it's this or that, where it's this notion that we have to choose between two undesirables. And so we're forced to kind of put in position where we this cost benefit analysis to figure out the best situation.
Lesser of two evils type shit. Like, that's just the cost.
I'm not doing it. I'm going to use my cost benefit analysis through a whole different frame of reference. And it has nothing to do with an allegiance to a political party. Right. That's just not how my calculations are moving. And shout out to the chat for definitely rocking with us. Peaches was saying she was telling people not to go to college because it was useless, even though she graduated with a journalism degree and then said she paid $35,000 a year with no help, but claimed she came from being poor. So it's like, what is it? You know what I'm saying? Did you have the bag back then and was able to stimulate and bankroll your education, which puts you in a position, to have the credibility and visibility you have now, and you good, and so other people should follow that framework? Are you full of shit and trying to be relatable and leading people down a dark, twisty path because you want to obfuscate your background, you know what I'm saying, and be and role play being a poor person and tell people not to go and do things that can actually lift them up from their situations and from where they came from. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that shit is so. Peaches said, family then was asked about Pell Grants, and she said she didn't know how to fill out a FAFSA. That tells you all you need to know, baby. If you don't know what a Pell Grant is, and if you don't know what a FAFSA is, we're not speaking the same language in terms of experience. So people like that ought not be able to lead the charge in shaping and molding our interpretations of what the truth is, especially when it comes to politics and shit.
Also, let's not ignore the fact that the only reason she got the job at the Daily Beast is because she got a journalism degree. They don't give a fuck that she was just spewing shit that they liked. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're empowered by the degree. So, like, yeah, that, again, it's terrible. it's this rhetoric that they don't even live by. I mean, it's the basis of, like, conservative media. Just tell people shit that you don't even live by. Yeah, ban abortions while you got 3, 4, 5 of them in your family.
Oh, like, God.
Let's all right, but we gonna go on to the next video. This is Joe Budden embarrassing himself. Charlamagne already embarrassed himself. Let's hear how Joe Budden did the same thing.
Americans are incredibly talented. Like I said, when it comes to the arts and creativity, I just find Black American to be funnier. I think we're also funnier. I think we have a natural sense of humor. Like, when we're comedians, we do it the best. Also, when we sing, we do it the best. When we're athletes, we do it the best.
See, Black pride. Yes, Candace.
I say this on
That's
my show.
What we want from Candace. Black pride. Not all of the other shit that makes us say, damn, is she proud to be Black or is she not proud to be Black?
And if you watch my show, you're not hearing anything new. This is what I say. This is the lessons in all of that. Forget the headline about what I said, but why I say it offends me. I'll say, because this is what I grew up with and this is what I know we are capable of.
So here's what's frustrating about that. Nigga, all she named was singing and dancing. That's not Black pride, bro. Our problem, we know she thinks we can sing and fucking dance. We know she thinks that, Joe Budden. You can't recognize that our problem with her is that she doesn't see us in leadership. She doesn't see us running, like, controlling communities. She doesn't see us empowering politics. Black pride is not being like, hey, a nigga can get down, can't he?
And I say this on my show.
Yes, like, I'm like, oh my God, yes, Joe, I have Black pride. Yeah, no, fuck that, Joe, buddy. You sound like a damn fool calling that Black pride. Our problem is that our entertainers get too much validity. When it comes to our Black leaders, her criticism is just, oh, they're Democrats. The same lady that's like, oh, both sides, right? But Black leaders, it's like, oh, they're on the plantation. But we can sing and dance our asses off.
Jesus Christ.
We can't sing and dance good enough to break our way free from this Democratic stranglehold on our brains. But goddamn it, we can dance our ass
off. Get on down.
What the fuck do y'all think y'all doing? Joe Budden? Charlamagne the God? I mean, just for the sake of time, it was another Breakfast Club clip where this nigga, DJ Envy the scammer, is asking Candace Owens, he asking Candace Owens, you know, why do you think people get wrong about you? You know what I'm saying? When you just asking questions and, you know, you just questioning things, why do you think that? Nigga, she not just asking questions and questioning things. She's
people not getting shit wrong about it. We're not getting anything wrong about her. No. That shit has been clocked. and niggas are seeing it from a mile away and calling it before it can get close and touch them. Okay? We see you. And don't bring that shit
what
over
What are
here.
We getting wrong
That's about? Called clocking. That's called clocking.
What are we getting wrong about her?
Not a thing.
Y'all niggas...
Melodious is saying, and shout out to Melodious. I had to shout out this comment. And just say what's up as well. Hey, to you back. I feel like Candace Owens is trying a Christian Walker. A full rebrand is coming soon. And I feel like, you know, we have our little opinions and we don't feel like it should come, but I feel like they're really about to try to cram this hole down our throat.
I mean, this is the initial efforts. That's why I'm telling y'all, look at this picture. As they try to force her down your neck, as they try to make her seem more reasonable.
And don't be one of the Black people she pointing to, talking about, look, they like it. No, do not. Don't do that to yourself. Like, fight back.
Your damn self. This is who you got to clean up for. Y'all not tired of trying to prop up people like Candace Owens, people like Donald Trump? And then when you got to stand on their record, you can't.
Mm.
You can't defend this. There was nothing. When she put this shirt on, they knew what antagonism they was representing. Indefensible. So my question to you, Toya, before we get into the next topic, is who should we be more annoyed with? Who should we have a bigger problem with? Candace Owens or these clown ass media platforms that's really trying to use her rebrand as a way for themselves, as a way for them to seem like unbiased and non-objective? Who? Because why you think about that?
I don't need to think about it. I got mine.
My fault. Go ahead.
Grifters gonna grift, honey. Make your money. Get your bag, baby. Do what you know to do. If it's out there for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do? It's money everywhere. And right. So if it's available to you, you're gonna go and get it with my blessing or not. You know what I'm saying? So get your bag. I definitely am more dissatisfied with these individuals who run these media platforms, who sit behind the mics, who push the buttons, who executive produce, who program develop, who just don't think about doing shit that matters and makes sense. Everything is for a soundbite. And I mean, it's just the state of media now. You know what I'm saying? It's not really about making sure niggas at the top level of this craft make sure they get the top level experiences and the top level feedback. You know what I'm saying? If it was, we would have a bigger platform. It's not really about that. They're not hiring those types of shows. They're not having those types of conversations. They're not inviting those types of guests. This is what sales is, the what we call clash in argumentation, what we call clash in debate, the bringing together very neatly of two opposing perspectives, approaches, strategies, alternatives, and to see how they play out on stage, regardless of what the opposition looks like, regardless of what the piece is, regardless of what's at stake. It's all about the big boom and whether we press record or not while it happens. And so this is what we get, is shit that don't mean nothing instead of meaningful conversations that could be setting us up from an insider perspective about what should be happening come November and beyond.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I feel like the worst thing is you're going to have these people. They're going to exist, right? Mm-hmm. That's why Ben Shapiro propped her up for a reason. It's other platforms that are going to talk to her about possibly getting an opportunity for her doing her show over there. She's on her Tucker Carlson shit right now, but she's a black woman. So that her, you know, maybe Elon Musk pull up. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Because like they want to be able to see, like, this is the black woman that says all the things that we say. You feel me? But what she not understanding is she gonna have to choose. If you go to another conservative platform, your rebranding is done.
Mm-hmm.
Your rebranding is done. Because the only way that rebrand works is you gotta start saying shit against the people that you've been repeatedly trying to protect. These white lives that you say matter, in order for you, unless you want to position yourself just in these black conservative spaces that are only popped up by white people anyway, you have to say things that's going to push back against the circumstances of most black people. Go ahead.
My thing is, why are you not going on Joe Rogan's show and going on, what's that man show that be on ESPN, the big white man who had Aaron Rodgers on there? He be having random people on there all the time.
Pat McAfee. Yeah, yeah.
Why you not going on them and hitting up them more conservative leaning shows and telling the truth about black people? You know what I'm saying? Like, also, like, he be saying some conservative shit, and he let that Aaron Rodgers shit fly with the ivermectin and the non-COVID and this and that. So
yeah.
I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, it's just a big bro show with a whole bunch of white people and white men who need better perspective on certain things and who do a whole bunch of corny shit. So maybe I've lumped him into a group that he doesn't belong to be in. But I want you to go with
a lot of that shit, though. Yeah. Yeah.
And platforms it. So I want you to go on those shows and undo some shit. You know what I'm saying? You hitting a whole circuit over here trying to prove to us how down you are. That's what the fuck I really want you to want to see, is some meaningful grappling with and confrontation. You know, Ben, I was on your show, and I know I don't work for you anymore, but we had a conversation 2 years ago, and we said some shit, and I just really want to hold you to the carpet now. You know what I'm saying? I think things have changed for me. I've unlearned and relearned some things. I'm in a place where I feel like... Well, so he's a bad example, but pick some of these other conservative platforms. That's what you can go and do with yourself. Since you already have access to those spaces, since they feel so comfortable talking to you every which way, I want you to go back down them paths. Go back into those, you know what I'm saying, boys clubs you was in, them locker room experiences you got to have, and go redo that. Don't spend and take up time on black platforms trying to get us to buy what we, you know, from the sniff test, I already don't really trust. You really want to go gain some trust and rebuild? We don't need to hear more from you over here. We need to see you back in them same places you was at. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at them in the eyeballs and go tell the truth. Don't come over here looking at us, talk about that's what I've been saying on my show. Go tell them what you be saying about yourself. I don't want to hear that shit over here.
But I mean, but again, though, where I agree with you mostly is on who we should be the most annoyed with. And like Joe Budden and Charlamagne make themselves look stupid. Mm-hmm. They really, like, yes, they get the views. Yes, people are going to watch for the outrage. Yes, people are going to watch so they can analyze and break down how dumb this was. But what is the trade-off? You feel me? I have respect for Charlamagne when he was had his show, and he was sitting down with he had Chico Bean sitting down with Dr. Claude Anderson. That mm-hmm. That's the type of engagement that's just like, damn. So what is it about Comedy Central and you having that show that your own platform, your own radio show, the thing that gets you the most views, you can't bring that energy over there? You turned into a whole dumbass. All them smart conversations you was having with people on Comedy Central, nigga, you bring that shit back to the Breakfast Club and sound like a whole dumbass. You're asking a provocateur about the difference between MAGA and conservatism. MAGA cannibalized conservatism, and Candace Owens played a large role in that.
Hello?
What are you doing?
Hello?
Why aren't you asking her, a conservative, about why the House is in disarray? Why we about to have to go through another round of trying to find a new speaker, because they trying to get rid of the second speaker after the first speaker that they picked over this most recent session of Congress literally took 14 votes to get him in there. Why aren't you Charlamagne the guy, politically astute Charlamagne the guy, asking her about why this sham impeachment, why they ain't been able to get Joe Biden out of office after they've been trying to impeach him for 2 years?
Man,
why are y'all not asking her? Why are y'all not asking her those questions?
Yeah, what happened? What's going on in there? What are y'all saying now? What's the sentiment? What's the vibe now, Ken?
Yeah,
that
y'all not asking her shit about. Yeah, y'all not asking her shit about all the money Trump about to owe. Y'all not asking her shit about him being found liable for rape and for defamation. You're not asking him about this nigga getting caught up in a whole RICO after explaining that shit away. Why he got a whole hush money case? The nigga that she's supporting.
Come on.
She bringing up draining the swamp, and then this is where I'm gonna stop my rant so we can get to the next topic. I'm sorry. She bringing up drain the swamp. And the nigga is on trial for hush money payments to a porn star.
He the swamp.
And you not asking her about that? You niggas ain't real, man. Charlamagne, sit the fuck down somewhere. That whole you the black voice of politics and you having all the smart political conversations and you done. That shit is a joke. You the whole donkey, not even the donkey of the day. That shit ass.
Straight at a decade, up, man. At a decade.
Straight up. So that was my rant on that. Anything else you want to say on Candace Owens before we get to the next part?
Columbus agreed with the both of us. So-called black media is the one we should be annoyed with. Hell, Candace is a grifter, like a snake. They crawl and shed their skins, but still snakes. So you're going to change and look a little different. Like you said, peel a little bit, gain a new one back, but the snake's still a snake. Shout out to Hood Therapy for popping in here. And yeah, I think we're ready to go ahead and slide to this other topic. If y'all haven't hit that thumb, go ahead and do that real quick, because now we are about to transition and talk about this week's global, very local to us, very domestic to us, but globally implicated bridge crash, right? So we know in Baltimore, maybe Monday night, I want to say maybe Sunday or Monday night, terrible bridge outage. The Francis Scott Key Bridge it's about a mile long, a little bit over a mile, that connects some central and important parts of the metropolitan area around Baltimore, was hit by I forget what type of boat it was or what it was transporting, but I know that it was, it's people kind of speculated that it had some toxic chemicals on it. A lot of big, heavy cargo took out this bridge, right? So a little bit of backstory about this whole incident. They were able to know that it was coming. They said that it was like an electrical potential issue. They're still investigating it, of course, and that's going to be months out to see what happened with the boat. But boat went out, lights was flickering on and off of it. The people on the boat were able to contact law enforcement to say, hey, something's about to happen. Try to get as many people off the bridge as possible. We know that the bridge was evacuated. I actually got to hear the dispatch call between the officers who were trying to stop the traffic on the bridge and dispatchers to tell them what happened. And then I got to hear when they jump in and interrupt the call. The bridge is collapsed. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's gone. Like, it's not even up no more. Like, and so just chaos all across. One is especially make sure that we take out time to acknowledge the six individuals who were on the bridge still, who were knocked off the bridge. Two of those people survived. Four of those people are now considered to have perished. We know and we have to give respect and identify the fact that all of them were migrants to the United States, all from Latin American countries. I'm talking about Honduras. I'm talking about from Guatemala. I'm talking about from a couple other South American countries, right? But people who came over here trying to work, provide for their families, do some beautiful things and just live and survive in a place that they weren't born in, lives are gone, right? So as a result, we see a lot of necessary responses from people because this is not only an American issue, but that particular port, the Port of Baltimore, and a lot of the traffic through there is what gives us a lot of electronics, a lot of cars and car technology, a lot of medical technology, a lot of those different things coming through that port. So this is an international catastrophe, right? This is a domestic issue in terms of being local to Baltimore. It's a issue for our country because that is how we get a lot of our imports and send a lot of our things back out into the world. And then internationally, they not getting shit because there's so much stuff still in the water. There are bridge fragments all up in the water. There's nothing coming in or coming out of that port. Still ain't moved. It's millions of tons of metal just in the water, right? So the gravity of this cannot be lost on us. You got something pulled up here. What is this? This is some details?
This is just describing the incident.
Got you. So I just kind of broke down some of this. A cargo ship collided into the bridge. It was all caught on video, which is where we talk about the blackouts that I mentioned. And then what I'm getting to is the mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott. Now, it's important to note that Baltimore and the state of Maryland in general is very black. The governor is a black man by the name of Wes Moore, who was recently elected in 2023. And Brandon Scott was elected as mayor of Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, in like 2021, sometime recently, very recently. And so he's in his first term in that role. It's also important to note that Brandon Scott is young. He is a little bit older than us. I don't think he's 40 yet. Young black man who looks like a young black man, has a beautiful, beautifully manicured afro, and wears that joint every single day, proudly. So the night of this accident, Mayor Scott appeared on the news, and he did not get fully dressed. Now, he clearly picked his hair up, which is amazing, right? Because it's the middle of the night. And he said, and he was in his car, he had a driver come get him, or his, you know, somebody took him, and he was picking and patting ferociously to get the...
You're going
to
see it, but
thing was stinging. That thing was stinging. But he absolutely put on a hoodie in the middle of the night. He absolutely wore casual clothes because he was responding to distress and calamity and did not need to wait or waste time putting on a suit and a dress shirt and the right color shoes to go with the right color tie, to go with the right color handkerchief in order to address the public in the middle of the night. He also had a Letterman jacket on. So there's a couple different looks we've seen him in. And that's Wes Moore in the back. If you're looking at the picture on the screen, you see the governor of Maryland there. But in response to this, a tweet was released where Mayor Brandon Scott was not affectionately entitled, but very matter-of-factly entitled the DEI mayor. Do you have that tweet pulled up?
Let me see.
Or able to be pulled up? I want to make sure we see the OG tweet before we get into his response to it, because that's really where my question is, right? He's doing his job. Something catastrophic happened. He springs into action. He gets up and makes statements to let people know that law enforcement and emergency personnel are on the scene and that the appropriate people are being communicated with, and that, you know, he's sorry about the loss of people, and to answer questions about uncertainties and really give guidance. And it was a missed opportunity, right? Instead of people really taking a look at that moment and being humbled by it and coming together around it, instead we see division. And so Plug is still getting that pulled up, but I got it
on the screen. I'm pulling it up for you.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see too. And real quick, we switched topics, but make sure y'all hit that thumb, right? Like, if y'all just sitting here vibing, I think I said it a couple minutes ago, I'm gonna say it again. These likes is really what's kind of boosting the show and getting us to get on more people's radar. So we really appreciate y'all for that recently. We've been looking at the numbers and the data on that. But keep liking, making sure that you're hitting that bell so that you know when we're having conversations again. Y'all know we usually on Thursdays. It's a Saturday right now. So we aren't here vibing with y'all for the weekend. Make sure y'all stay tapped in so y'all never miss anything that we're doing. So the OG tweet from I Am Yes, You Are No says this is Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge is going to get so, so much worse. Prepare accordingly. Now, to an untrained, unseasoned eye,
racially illiterate eye,
somebody who can't read nor write, the ability to see racism, you might look at this and be like, oh, DEI mayor, this is going to get so much worse. We need to prepare accordingly, as if this is an objectively stated tweet where it's just like talking about how bad this bridge collapse is. But if you really know what the hell is up, you know that that DEI slipped itself in there and means so much more. Because without even looking at him, if that picture of him was not on the screen or the clip of the video was not on the screen, it would already imply a very important characteristic, right? An important adjective about the mayor in question, right? You cannot have seen it or know who the hell the mayor of Baltimore is, like most people didn't. I did, just because, I mean, he's a millennial who is with an afro, and he's a mayor of a major American city. So yeah, that came across my timeline. But average people don't know the mayors of certain cities. So if you had no idea anything about him, now you could read the tweet without the picture and see that this is a black man. This is probably clearly a black mayor, or a mayor of color at the very least, or a mayor of a diverse representation. Because let's be clear, they are using, and we see Philip Lewis, who is a major Twitter and internet objective news source that rivals the AP, rivals Huntington Post in terms of the news that he pops out. He basically said the quiet part out loud, which is DEI is basically a stand-in for the N-word now.
Right. Now, Toya, right. I have a direct quote from, who is this? A Utah lawmaker who specifically blamed the shit on DEI. Let me show this shit real quick. So you have Utah lawmaker, his name is Lyman, Phil Lyman, straight up said, this is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of their citizens. This is what happens when you prioritize diversity over the security of your citizens. Where the hell did you get that from?
Well, here's what's unfortunate about that, because you would think this is a senator. You said, who said this?
A state lawmaker.
So state lawmakers understand elected positions, right? They understand that you don't just go out and apply to be the mayor of a city and put in an application and somebody calls you back from HR, but that you actually have to go through elections. What he fails to recognize, while he's trying to implicate this whole notion that he was placed, that Mayor Brandon Scott was placed in this position benevolently through the DEI powers that be, is that he won his position by 70%. Mm-hmm. By 70% in the city of Baltimore. And it's not 70%, nigga. In the city of Baltimore,
it's a lot of niggas in Baltimore, but it's
all the niggas in Maryland, all the black people in Maryland are in Baltimore. If anybody, my Maryland people will tell you that, you know what I'm saying? Like, but when you start to get to PG County and other counties out there, them are very white places. Yeah. So you have a duly elected mayor who everybody gravitates around, supports, and has done a fine job in his position. And here's the other side of the irony of DEI represent nigga. Anybody who understands what diversity, equity, and inclusion stands for, represent, knows that this represents black people, women, immigrants, people with disabilities, veterans, LGBTQ people.
Who benefits the most from DEI?
White women.
And we've also discovered Asians as well. Because once you start getting rid of them DEI policies, what happened to that Asian enrollment?
The fact that nigga DEI and nigga just have automatically become synonymous is just them playing their hand too strong. But in the face of this Utah lawmaker, in the face of I am yes, you are no conversations, you know, sent shockwaves across my timeline, across the news, like the formal news stations were covering this. As you pulled up the article we looked at, there was a whole conversation about how DEI has become like this subtext and this trade-in or this swap out. And it was brought to, of course, the mayor's attention that a lot of people were critical of the way he went about his duties and his job. So go ahead and play the clip real quick, plug, of Mayor Brandon Scott addressing the air quote manual. And I'm not going to air quote it, this manufactured controversy about how he wears his clothes, how he presents, and how he does his job as the mayor of Baltimore, especially in the face of this catastrophe.
All right, I'm pulling it up for you now.
For sure.
All right. Y'all give me just a second.
Me now.
All right, and let's go.
that.
Is Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. I will allow you, Mayor Scott, if you choose to do so, to respond to the tomfoolery and attacks on you for having the nerve to be black and also a mayor.
Well, I think, listen, I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them. Because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk. And they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
And the Bible.
Yeah, he could.
So that's his purpose in life. So my question, yeah, I guess I want you to elaborate on that, because that was what I was getting to. So do you feel, how do you feel about his response? You know what I'm saying? Understanding who he is, his position, all the things he has to balance, all the things he has to consider. What is the vibe that you're giving to Mayor Brandon Scott's response to his criticisms?
So before I go in, everybody that's watching, y'all say what's up if y'all ain't already said what's up in the chat. Also, make sure y'all hit that like button. Let us know that y'all rocking with the content. But the reason why I feel like he straight cooked was because there are ways to talk racially without talking racially. Like, I do it on TikTok. Like, I say things like, you know, for people who look like me or for people from my background. It's because like, we literally, like, so much of how we understand people is caught up in that, in our phenotype and our skin tone, that when you say things like that, they automatically draw their own assumptions. You feel me? So, so I feel like what was beautiful about what he did is he spoke explicitly about white, anti-black racism and white privilege without having to use the rhetoric that's typically associated with it. When he talked about people, when he talked about, we know they, right? He ain't got to say white man, that's they, that's them. We know how they move, you feel me? So we know they, and then when you talk about people who want to live in luxury while everybody else lives in squalor, that's we know who we talking about when we talking about them type of people. You feel me?
Yeah.
So the way that he was able to call out whiteness for what it is and describe it, not use just the rhetoric of racism and how we talk about racism, but literally describe the circumstances of it. The boogeyman conversation. Yes, nigga, y'all scared.
Since we got to this country.
Since we've been here.
Yeah.
You feel me?
It's a little slight acknowledgement of slavery.
Exactly. That's how you talk about slavery without talking about slavery. Since we've been here. What you mean since we've been here? Since we came here as slaves, nigga. Like that.
Yeah.
the subtext is understood. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so I felt like his response was like the perfect way that you respond to these criticisms. And he said it beautifully. We know they scared to say the N-word. Mm-hmm. There's a fear in that. So y'all just say DEI. The same way y'all tried to label everything woke. The same way y'all tried to label everything CRT. Like, it's just, again, and I know we're going to talk about the outrage standpoint, but it's just like the way, like, him pointing out, I know what you want to say, but you ain't got the balls to say it. So you can play this DEI game if you want to, but nigga, I'm elected overwhelmingly. He said the democratically elected incumbent, nigga.
The duly elected incumbent, yeah.
Yeah, I was placed here. You feel me? The people know what's up. I ain't gotta prove nothing to you just because you want to get up there and use me to grandstand about something that you're trying to fear monger about. Shit,
yeah.
Cause my folks know what's up. You feel me? So yeah, I appreciated the response. That's the
what's good,
response.
Donnell. What's good, Donnell? Definitely happy you hit that like button, that love button. That's definitely what family does. I want to know from the comments how y'all feel about it. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I loved it, and I love every piece of it. But what I wished, y'all remember a couple weeks ago, Plug? You remember, not a couple weeks ago, but now this has been a couple months ago, that Keith Lee went on his food tour, and it was like going kind of to the left, and, you know, Atlanta was crazy to him, and I think he had another weird experience somewhere else, so he had to make a couple videos.
Yeah.
I remember specifically
Atlanta,
doing that.
Specifically Atlanta and New York.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like this, I'm referring to Atlanta when he had to come out and make a video about how some shit was going and how it was being framed and how, because I think he was in a parking lot and like had to go back and forth and lie back from somebody. Either way it goes. The videos he put out, people were duetting them and saying like the nigga version of what he was saying, because you know, people is like da 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 da, and then people would come in and be like,
"I love y'all, have a peaceful life."
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what that needs, because a lot of that, I feel like, in like, and I would love to hear that done in like true, authentic Baltimore accents. You know, we got a couple niggas we know that can really.
Yeah, because I could be his anger translator, but I'm just not gonna do it with the Baltimore accent. It needs the oohs and doos and yous.
All of that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shout out to the Baltimore people.
My people, my dogs. That's, you know what I'm saying? We can list names. We're gonna do all of y'all. But that's what I imagine in this video. You know what I'm saying? As I watch them kind of break down artistically. Because he had to paint in between lines and kind of shade here and shade there and be meaningful and intentional with what he said, but also strategically, also very confidently. But also, I think it was humility. It was looking me in my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not hiding behind the pretense of being the mayor. I'm just somebody who y'all chose to do a job, and I'm not afraid to do it, and I'm gonna do it in spite, despite, and to spite you. And won't feel bad about it. Hello. Yeah. And will not feel bad about it along the way. And so, like, I really, the only thing I wish we had was a translator so that the real version, the shit that he can't say, like, and if y'all didn't hear him, what y'all should understand is boom, 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 boom. Because it was that fire.
I guess the only thing that I would say was missing is the smoke. And I get it. He's a mayor. Like, I understand that respectability comes with certain positions. You got to.
Yeah.
But that's why I loved what Fonnie Willis did in her disqualification hearing. She brought that whole that smoke. She was not playing.
I think them is two. You know what I mean? That's two different lines. The two different tightrope.
Yeah, right. But the disrespect though.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they really disrespecting this young man. Like, I mean, he a couple years older than me, but he a young man.
What is his? I think his nickname was like Shorty or something. I cannot remember. He used to have some type of nickname, and I feel like
Toya and I both agreed that his nickname looked like it should be Scooter.
That's
it looked like it should be Scooter.
But shout out to Tiffany in the comments. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking with us and talking with us. We passed the hour point, so I'm gonna push through these last couple of just questions that I want to get to. I guess this shit seems so bold and so brazen, you know. And I want you to put up that tweet that had even, you know, racist people being like, bro. But I feel like this is an example for me of just how lazy, like, white people be like, oh, you like low hanging fruit. It's just is it not embarrassing for other white people? Like, y'all pick and choose these battles, you know, and you win some and you lose some. So there's I know we don't have to pull it up, but there's like a graphic we saw where it's like the battle of 2020 was CRT.
Yeah.
And y'all wrestled and tangled about that and went back and forth, and y'all made some progress. You know what I'm saying? There's some changes in books and textbooks. We coming back to that shit. Don't worry about it. And we've already seen DeSantis have to start to roll back and change some of those things, because there are a lot of teachers and a lot of instructors in Florida saying, nigga, this is ridiculous and too
Supreme
far.
Court,
and,
or the Supreme Court in Florida said it was in Florida said it was ridiculous. Yeah, it's wholly unconstitutional.
And so all those things will unravel, especially since his little presidential bid didn't work out. A lot of the stuff that he was trying to big stick and change and move to kind of push his presidential aspirations backfired. And so they mean nothing and will be undone. Then you look at 2022 in the battle against woke, and we've had conversations on woke and how woke was a new nigga or a new way to kind of, you know what I'm saying, manipulate and misuse our language to be pejorative to Black people and their goals and their aspirations and the things that they see and understand and uncover about the world around them. And then so we won that battle, right? I think that clip where the lady won the book, wrote the book about woke, but then was asked to define woke and couldn't define woke. Right. She messed them all the way up.
So tired of Republicans embarrassing themselves trying to explain what woke meant, that other Republicans started being like, we don't, like, we off that, like, the woke, that just mean this, like, they say whatever, we moving on. So now we
took the L on that one, and now we on the DEI battlefield fighting up. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Savior, honey, and I'm fighting. We doing our thing with DEI. You know what I'm saying? I will say, been a couple blows to DEI, particularly with the bans on diversity, equity, and inclusion in a very formal way on college campuses and the way we're starting to see that in workplace policies.
Like what we see in Texas.
And so we're in a heavy-handed battle right now against DEI, but we're not trying to let them win. That being said, a lot of white people are just like, y'all got to stop picking dumb shit to try to beat up and beat down. Every single thing that really black people have, mm-hmm. and this is a great moment to recognize that.
Black people like kind of create it, yeah.
And it's a great moment to acknowledge that when black people become the thought leaders and the creators of things, so many other marginalized people benefit from it.
Everybody benefits. Come on, come on. Collective. You saw the problem of the black woman. You saw the problems of the world.
Everybody. And so we can't not see that. But the fact that not only with these ideals and these logics are black people getting through the portal, but all the others are too, mm-hmm. is rattling them. And so all they do is pick and start up dumbass fights and dumbass battles and dig their heels in on different artifacts and different components of our cultures, of our realities, of our resistance, of our liberation, you know, of just our being. They pick a thing that they don't like, problematize it, demonize it, make it bad, and then attack mm-hmm. it. And so that playbook is nonsense. Ooh. You have that other
I got it pulled up on the screen. Yeah, I pull it up for you.
Yeah. But this cracked me up largely because, you know, people are like, this is even too much for me as a racist. You know what I'm saying? Like these fights, these battles are getting dumber and dumber by the day. So as soon as it gets pulled up and I can read it to y'all and I can see it, I'm gonna let y'all know what it says. Let me see. Read the tweet. I can't read the tweet, it's too blurred.
It's still, is it? All right.
The John Goldberg tweet.
Okay. I have all, so Jonah Goldberg.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it must be blurry for you on there, dear. Jonah Goldberg says, I have all sorts of problems with DEI ideology and DEI practice, i.e., I'm anti-black in a lot of ways, even though I may not be overtly racist. But if these dumbasses are going to simply use DEI as a synonym for black, then count me out. This is monstrously stupid and offensive. Now, first of all, you could tell that a nigga don't really know the benefit of DEI and the purpose of it if you against it, right? Like, saying, like, yeah, I'm against DEI practices. You're against creating equitable workspaces, communities, and learning environments.
Sure. Wow.
Okay. But I can still recognize when somebody's creating a straw man just to point the finger at black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can completely ignore that the purpose of DEI is to give other people opportunities to excel in different arenas, but then still recognize when the people that agree with you is on some stupid shit, then it's like, yeah, that's how y'all know y'all at the bottom of the barrel. And this is why, not to blend the conversations, but this is why I'm so upset with Joe Budden and Charlamagne, is because even conservatives are starting to call out what conservatives do, like the fear mongering that comes from that comes out of conservatives, the outrage that comes out of conservatives. Even Fox News is starting to recognize, like, yo, this Fox News bailed on woke. Fox News, they bailing on the impeachment. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? In a lot of ways, they like kind of low key in certain ways bail on Trump. You got a lot of people that's like pro Trump, but the anti-Trump narrative is being bigged up on these platforms. You feel me? So it's like conservatives are following a losing strategy, like to their grave. Going to war with DEI is not going to win you elections. The outrage thing, you feel me? Y'all own behavior has been so outrageous that the shit that y'all try to create outrage around, niggas look right past that shit.
I mean, and I guess, you know, I wanted to ask a question because I think kind of how you frame the fracturing within conservatism and within white people in general kind of pushes back against this. But I mean, why do you think white people kind of build community around outrage and around fear? Like, is that not ironic? Like, and sad? You know, because I think, I guess it's less of a question. I wrote it down as a question, but I think it's just a statement and an observation. Like, white people, you know, are white. because they have decided that that is the best way to collectivize their similarities in order to have political capital and social capital and capital in order to edify themselves and to oppress other people, right? You can't come over here. And race and the subtext of race, right, are specific to America, but they're also international. We know that. But when we're talking about American anti-blackness and American white supremacy specifically and American whiteness, you can't come over here and be a big dog and be German American. You can't come over here and be Scandinavian American. You'd be like, I'm Italian American. We about to run shit over here. No, you get the biggest bang out of your buck is by saying you white, I'm white, you look alike. We're going to be white and they're going to be some others and we'll divvy them up how we want to, or we'll just make them de facto others. And then it'll be us against them. Right. And so you have to buy into that logic. And so I guess it's just like, it makes a lot of sense to me that when you don't have anything else to bond over, right. With your ancestors, when yo, people spoke different languages, ate different foods from different regions, don't have the same cultural practices, don't have the same religious practices, might not believe in nobody the fuck at all. Can't, you know, like, you're going to be like, yeah, let's just bond around how afraid we are of that thing or how outraged we are by that shit. Because there's nothing else that brings us together, ties us together besides our ability to respond viscerally to shit that's not us.
Well, it's crazy. I think it's because... it's because they, as much as they say that black people want to victimize themselves and how we have a victim mentality when it comes to the role of white supremacy and white privilege and racism, and how it interacts with like the opportunity deficit that we have in this country, what they need is somebody to be compassionate to them. Because we don't have a reason to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I hate that I feel like this, because from a compassionate standpoint, like, homeless people are homeless people. So, like, if I want to help homeless, like, in the little ways that I can, if I got some change, I should give it to them. Right. If I got a couple ones on me, let me, this is my good deed for the day.
You know what
I mean? But I really be apprehensive about giving homeless white people money, because I feel like you wasted your whiteness. Like, you got to think about the potential of being, like, the potential of whiteness is literally the leader of the free world. If you, being born white, you have a higher probability of becoming the leader of what we call the free world more than anybody else. Just look at all the damn presidents. If we got one nigga president and we got all these 40, what, like 40 something white presidents, that means that if I'm a little kid and I'm looking at like what I could do, I can do all of this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I have all of this opportunity ahead of me. Like, even if I don't become the president, I could be a CEO. I could run a bank.
I don't disagree with that. I think manager. In theory, I agree with that. In reality, my biggest issue with that logic in terms of how I treat like people less than is that I don't think it does. And I'm not out here finding white people to give my cash to. I am a little discerning. I think, I'm not going to lie, like, it's a gray area. I think a little bit harder about it. But I think intersectionality, if it's going to be true, it has to be true both ways, right? Because, like, in a lot of ways, like, yes, you are a man, Dominique. Like, and so, rah, rah, rah. But you are also a black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so your intersections allow for me to be and have compassion towards you that I might withhold against other people. Like, yeah, you are white, but you could also be disabled and might also be queer and might also, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I can't be like, yeah, white people, y'all out here, y'all played yourself. You fumbled the bag. Nah. Fuck you. Like, I want to in my brain so bad. I just, if intersectionality is true for black people and the black people I have love for, it also has to be true for my other identities and how they connect with other people's identities, even if it's not black.
But what we know about race when we talk about intersectionality? All that shit gets altered when you put a label on it. Like, oh man, okay, that's cool. Black man, we got a problem. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, queer.
But you know, I don't know. Queer, it's about yourself. Like, oh, it's about yourself. That position.
You put black queer in that motherfucker. That shit skyrocket. So it's and it's like, I don't.
I mean, but then I have to also recognize that you put black trans on that shit, and that's a whole other. You know what I'm saying?
Or you put, but what happened when you put white trans on that shit? You still got the hatred, but you got motherfucking Caitlyn Jenner.
It gets weird. We're getting lost in our own sauces.
Okay, right. We're getting lost in the sauce. I only said that to say, like, white people want to be victims because they want to feel the compassion that people feel for Black people when we talk about our history and what we go through. True. They also don't want to feel like just because they get certain opportunities that other people are denied opportunities, even though that's how shit works. Opportunities are finite. They're not infinite, which means that when somebody else is getting more opportunities than others, then that means that they're taking away the opportunity to come up on an opportunity from a different group. You feel me? So it's like they have to find things to be outraged about, because if not, they're going to be mad at their damn selves. If they operated from the same level of morality that everybody else operates from, they would look at themselves and say, yeah, we fucked up and we're continuing to fuck up. Look at the presidential election. Look at the people who have the biggest names and the biggest mouths and the most influence. Are they productive for a society? No. You got one nigga that got more fucking that's dealing with more coke cases than shit, Tupac.
Lord.
Then you got another, I mean, in the public eye. And then you got another nigga who's actively funding you and using taxpayer dollars, a genocide. And these are the people who have had the consistent and routine control of our country. So of course they have to be outraged about everything else, because if not, they would understand the outrage that they fucking cause because of the shit that they do. You gotta be mad at DEI. Why? Because it exposes the way you fucking move. You gotta be mad at woke. Why? Because it means that we recognize how the fuck you move. You gotta be mad at CRT. Why? Because we've documented the way that y'all fucking move.
Jesus.
So it's like, they really, you got to. Are you gonna get exposed? Period. Yeah. So.
It's wicked. It's wicked. This conversation it will continue to be evolving and developing as we see how things are handled in Baltimore, because Lord forbid something, you know, happens out of the way. By the way, President Biden said that he would be paying for the bridge to be replaced and repaired and all that kind of stuff like that, so it won't come at the expense of state of Maryland or even city of Baltimore taxpayers. So that's a blessing. But as we go, we cannot fail at the end of this conversation to recognize that Black people don't take nothing serious, right? Because as soon as we see DEI has become the new N-word, just like we reclaim nigga, we're going to take that one too and run with it. And so all across Twitter, and you don't have to pull them all up, but I'm going to just read some, and this is just a tiny fraction of all of the silly ass ways Black people started to replace the word nigga in any of your favorite statements and use the word DEI. For example, oh, you got them queued up. Blair L.M. Kelly, PhD, says, someone said, don't say DEI with the hard I, and I'm done. Our ability to flip anything is everything, right? So we know no hard R. From now on, you can't say DEI with the hard I. You know what I'm saying? You got to say DEI. You got to say DEI. If you say DEI too hard, you're being
insensitive. Yeah, ecstatic. It's static. I thought I had another one, but I think that's the one.
Hey, also, it's cool. I'll read some of the other ones.
I showed a picture at the end, but go ahead.
Got you. Some of the other tweets I saw: Rich DEI, poor DEI, house DEI, feel DEI, steal DEI. No, what it say? I seen a tweet that said, "My DEIs don't dance. We just pull up our pants and do the Rockaway, and we lean back." Let me see a couple more bangers that I seen. House DEIs or field DEIs? Are you a hood DEI or a bougie DEI? It's hard out here for a DEI.
Yeah. I think I'm hood DEI. You think? What you think? I would want to be hood DEI.
I'm a. I think that's true. I kinda. You with these glasses on, I don't know. I think that's changed for you. I think you turned a new leaf over. So I don't know if you can really claim that anymore. But ultimately, the salute that I've been seeing these last couple mornings is shout out to my real DEIs. And I've been really appreciating that. Our ability to laugh when people want to laugh in our face, when they want to be funny, when they try to just make little drive-by statements that, you know, are represented in the OG tweet. This is what I think about a lot. But you go ahead and close out the conversation. You put up this last tweet. Tell us more about this picture and what you want us to think about.
So we got a picture of Wes, the mayor, the governor of I'm gonna have to show it on your screen. Actually, I don't think I
can see it.
I got it. Yeah, I know you can see it. I'm trying to get the people to see it. But it's a picture that's circulating around showing Governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, and the mayor of Baltimore that we've been discussing, Brandon Scott. And it's showing them embracing. I really wish, that's why I had it pulled up. But it's showing them embracing. And Toya and I both was like, this is what it's all about. For real. Because it's like, this is what we need. This is why I'm always talking about the role of having more people in power occupying politics. So as younger people come in, more people come in, they have older black seasoned politicians that they can lean on, that they can get support from. You feel me? And just build the camaraderie with to be able to kind of make it through and feel confident enough in how they doing their job to then also do the same thing to help the younger generation. So shout out to Wes Moore for showing the love that he showed to Brandon Scott, especially when you're being attacked by again, the white conservative, anti-black racist machine over 1,000%. Dumb shit. So shout out to
Anthony him. York typed out DEI. So now we know how to say it correctly.
Anybody pull up talking about DEI, I'm going to take full offense. Like, I'm taking offended. Full offense.
You need to straight take up. A step down and check yourself before you really fucking wreck yourself. Kefunya Ife is in the comments definitely talking to us a little bit. The fact that the word niggas really means king, we definitely are representing the patchwork of our ability to take language and reclaim it. You know what I'm saying? So niggas means king. DEI means royalty. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm definitely taking this from here on out.
There you go.
Shout out to Michael and in the comments as well, popped in to say what's up. Tori J asked the question, I wonder what y'all think about Coleman Hughes' colorblindness theory. Now, Coleman Hughes, I guess, is new on the scene to me and my radar. I just kind of did a quick Google search and saw that he's been doing some TED Talks and talking about the utility of color blindness in a 2024 America. But that's a non-starter for me personally. I think color blindness is an excuse and an opportunity to obfuscate things that cannot quite be obfuscated. So you want to take away the ability to identify and interpret race in a world where phenotypically and scientifically, biologically, it's just not possible. And so we make those calculations based on social development and evolutionary theories, based on the kind of nature versus nurture, clearly understanding what parts of the human experience are nurtured into us. And if those things don't plan on changing, right? If the world won't change for us to be nurtured different as people in civilizations and civilized society, then colorblindness doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because the framework of this world is what creates these racist approaches and using race to determine people's value and shit. So I'm gonna go back and look at some of the videos and watch some of the TED Talks and things that I've seen now that I did my Google search and know this person existed. But that's not a thing to me personally. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm cool. Like, I mean, I know people attempt to kind of flip certain things to try to to create like a post-racial mindset. But it's like it's the institutions. As long as the institutions exist, like, we still have to kind of function through that. So I mean, it feels good and it's convenient, but it's not strategic.
And I also, I think I navigate my world that way. And so interpersonally, I do think like color blindness theory is like probably good and necessary. I don't treat people of different colors. I work at one of the biggest Latino serving institutions in the state of California. Like, most of my friends, if you look at my birthday pictures from the birthday, I think last year's birthday, there's one other black woman in that picture, and it's Asians and Latinos and ambiguously racist people. We look like the Black Eyed Peas. I bring it up all the time, right? A lot of people, you know, in my personal life, I navigate with in a very colorblind way. But as long as the plug was saying, these institutions and these systems and structures exist that get to gatekeep what then that colorblindness looks like and how it materializes itself in other parts of my life, like how I make my money, how I survive, how I navigate those institutions. Not a thing for me. Yes, Plug, what were you about to say? And I appreciate you for letting me finish.
Coleman Hughes believes that anti-racism is leading to a new type of racism. And I think that makes no sense.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
It's called circular reasoning. And again, we talked about that in our argumentative fallacies class in my HCOM 235 class. So this is a non-starter for the kid. But a great conversation about what's happening up in Baltimore. Like I said, and I started this conversation saying, it's not only an issue particular to Baltimore and state of Maryland. It's a national crisis and issue with supply chains and access to important goods that we get imported and that we also need to get exported in order for revenues to be generated for certain people. And so that's going to be hard for people nationally, but also internationally. Like, some of that stuff we send, it ain't around the corner, baby. It's around the world. And so it's going to be some things happening, and hopefully quickly, so that we can get back on track. But we're going to watch. Shout out to the DEI mayor, Brandon Scott.
Shout out to the DEI mayor, real DEI mayor, Brandon real. Scott, boy.
Shout out to my DEI, Brandon Scott, man.
Yeah, don't be, listen, he not DEI, DEI.
DEI,
DEI.
DEI.
Hey, we done being silly, you feel me? Great conversation. I'm glad we was able to get this one out. Toya we had debate tournaments and all type of stuff last week, so we wasn't able to pull up, but we picked the perfect time to pull up when we did. So, with that being said, everybody that's been in the building, thank y'all, everybody in the chat.
Yeah.
Kafunya Life, Anthony, Suave Beezy, Blue, Hood Therapy, Tiff, everybody that was in here, all of y'all.
Corjay.
Everybody. We appreciate y'all. Y'all make sure y'all pull up next week when we back up in here. More conversation, more dialogue.
Well, I'll actually be at the NDT this Thursday.
Oh, you will be. So I may be one deep.
Plug may be one deep. I might also try to pop on and make some magic happen.
Or a different day.
Yeah. But this is why you got to hit the bell, right? Because this is spring break vibes anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all might be, but spring break might mean you got all the time in the world to listen to the show. So hit the bell. That way, no matter what's going on, you can make a decision about whether you want to be in Chop Nation or whether you're just going to love on us from a distance until you can join us again. Either way, we're grateful for you. Hit the bell on the way out. Hit the thumb on the way out. And we'll see you the next time we see y'all.
Toya, real quick. Donnell said, did you get a chance to watch American Fiction?
I did watch American Fiction, and I actually enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it was going to be. It was better than I thought it was going to be. We can have a whole kind of like reflection section on that. But I did watch American Fiction, and I actually liked it and was happy that it was something. I was impressed. I was entertained. I don't think I was impressed, but I was entertained.
Good job. That's great.
Yep.
That's
great. Thank you.
I appreciate that update from our last episode. But
absolutely.
Until next time, we will see y'all. This is the Chop Up. Y'all enjoy y'all weekend.